Thank you, team. Take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 13 in just a moment and read down through verse number 20. Thank you, Jack, for leading out. Second time he's ever played guitar in the church. Amen. 9:30 was the first time, so appreciate Jack leading out today and helping us. Have to carry your father every now and again, so that's a good thing. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to come to this third message in spiritual warfare. Then next Sunday we'll be in the same text and we'll finish that series. And then on November 1, which is Time Change Sunday, we'll be casting vision for the future of the church. And then that afternoon at 4:30, we'll have a Sunday night service in your car in the parking lots back here on the back. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together. You can bring your own elements, or we'll have some stations where you can pick it up. We'll take it. Liz and I will lead. We'll be on the radio. You can hear and listen and be a part of that. And we'll gather together here. We'll have some music, and I think it'll be a unique and really a great service on that Time Change Sunday. Planning at 4:30, we'll be finished just about sundown. So I want you to come and join us as we do that in a couple of weeks. But this morning, we continue with the spiritual warfare emphasis, knowing that we are in this battle day by day in our lives with the spirit of the wicked one that comes against us. But greater is he that's in us. Hallelujah. Than he that's in the world. But we need to be informed about how to fight the battle. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll begin reading in verse 13, read through verse 20. You follow along in God's Word. Now you'll notice verse 13 begins with therefore, so it looks back to verses 10, 11, and 12, where Paul is telling us to be strong, to put on the full armor of God, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness that are in heavenly places. And because of that warfare, therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We understand from our own experience, as well as Ephesians 5 and verse number 16, that we should make the most of our time because the days indeed are evil. We walk in a day of evil. Not only do we do it, Paul did it in every generation in between. Therefore, you must make the most of every day that you have to live. Count every day and count the cost of it. As you come to this warfare, Paul then begins to lay out for us a few items. Number one, he says that we should take up the full armor of God. I'll talk about those, all the pieces, next Sunday, but just to give you a quick overview, you know these. I taught them to you several years ago, and you never forget anything I teach you, so you know these. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace. They are the three that I tell you are up and down. All right, it's easy to remember them. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace. Then you have three that are across, and it is the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. So memorize those. Put them on every day. Put on truth and righteousness and peace. Walk by faith. Understand your salvation and always use the Word of God every day in your life. Take up the full armor and put it on, put it on, put it on. Then he says, after you put on the full armor of God, resist, resist. That comes against you, you must say no to certain things. those that come against us, to resist. And then he says, thirdly, to stand firm. He says it twice, stand firm. Be a Gideon, as Judges 6 and verse number 12 tells us, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. I challenge you this morning to become a valiant armor bearer, to become a valiant warrior for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This morning, I want to take one of those pieces of the gospel armor, the fourth piece, not the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, but the shield of faith. The shield of faith. We'll look at all of them next Sunday. But today, the shield of faith. In verse 16, he says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. Now notice the first three, he says that you take up the armor of God and you have the belt, you have the breastplate, you have the shoes. Now in addition to all, he says in verse 16, take up. See, a soldier may very well rest or sleep with his shoes on, with his belt on, with his breastplate on. But when the war cry came and the trumpet blew, he had to rise up and he had to find his shield, put on his helmet, and find his sword and take it with him. In addition to truth and righteousness and peace, you must then take up the shield of faith, so you can extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one. And it's Satan's fiery arrows that I want to look at this morning. There are many of them that come against us. That shield, there are two words for shield in the Greek New Testament. One is for a small round shield that would be used in hand-to-hand combat. That is not the shield in Ephesians 6:16. This shield is a large shield, about 2.5 feet wide and 4 feet long, almost the size of a door that you would have, that you would be able to get behind. When you line these up, they could become a wall of force. And they were often overlaid with leather, soaked, wet, and dripping, so that when these flaming missiles, these arrows, these darts were thrown, and they would shoot at them from the enemy side, then that wet leather would extinguish the flaming arrow or missile of the evil one. Therefore, he says, take up this shield and extinguish those flaming arrows, missiles, darts of the evil one. The question for us this morning, what are the arrows? What is it that the wicked one assaults us with? We've looked at one or two of these already, but I want to enumerate four of them for us today. Number one, the first one is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. He takes aim at us and he shoots. And when you've been done wrong, and all of us have been done wrong, everyone in here have been done wrong somewhere in your life, you must grant forgiveness before it is asked for. That is grace. But when you hold unforgiveness, we find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, where this man had called Sara in the Corinthian church, and Paul says, but one whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed, what I have forgiven, I have forgiven anything. I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Why did he do that? Notice in verse 11, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. When you don't forgive, the scheme of the wicked one comes, and he bores into you a foothold. He finds his lodging place. He takes advantage, and bitterness grows when forgiveness is not granted. If you don't forgive, bitterness will find its root within your life, and it'll poison. We must forgive. We must be like Jesus on the cross in Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them. They're ignorant of what they don't even know what they are doing. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse number 32, we're to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, he tells us to pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one's come short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many are defiled. That root, when it begins to take hold in your life. Friend, you must forgive if you're going to be like Jesus, but it's not just good for, it's good for you. Amen. Yesterday, my wife, we're moving a few things outside there around the deck. She said, could you take this plant and dig it up and transplant it? I said, no problem. So I got the shovel, and I got it loose, and then I went to pick it up, and it wouldn't come. I said, it's got to come out of there. So I finally dug and dug, and I looked around, and it's just one root. One root. Man, it's a demonic, hellish root. It goes all the way to the abyss, all right? I mean, down it went. The axe and I took care of it. Now, my wife just asked me to transplant it. It may never live in that new hole, but it's not in that old hole anymore, all right? It has been picked up and put in a new position. I don't know if it's going to grow or not. That's up to her. I cut the roots off that sucker, all right? I mean, it was killing me. But, friend, I'm telling you, it'll kill you if you hold that bitter root that goes deep into your soul and into your bones. Oh, my Lord. And it will lapse over into the second era. When unforgiveness is not dealt with and forgiveness is not granted, that root of bitterness is there, and it will yield anger. Anger. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, to be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give who an opportunity? Don't give the devil an opportunity. It's one of his arrows. When you don't forgive, it then washes over into anger, and something becomes the object of your anger, and it normally is a person. And the devil plants that root of bitterness. It yields anger, and you find that you have a critical spirit. And you're mad at others. You're mad at yourself. You're mad at anybody who disagrees with you. And it just washes over in this critical spirit. If you read in Samuel, David and Saul, David's just a young shepherd boy. He's taking care of sheep. He gets called by the Spirit of God to come, and he kills Goliath. Favor is resting on him. The Lord, and oh my goodness, Saul seethes in anger at David. He will not receive him as a young warrior. He won't receive him as a teammate. He sees him as his enemy. As a matter of fact, twice at the dinner table, he picks up a javelin and flings it, trying to kill David. I'm telling you, that's not much of a dinner host. Lodges in the wall, even tries to kill Jonathan. He's become so angry, and it's seething in his life. This unforgiveness will roll over into anger, and you become mad, seemingly at everyone around you. While many years ago, we were in our first church out of seminary, and where our children were born. We have people we love there in Texas. They're our dear, dear friends until this day. One of the ladies who helped care for our kids growing up, I noticed that she and her sister, they came to church, but there was something wrong. I finally talked with her about it one day. She said, yes, way back. She couldn't even remember what it was, but they had a falling out. They came to church together, but they would not speak to one another. I thought, what joy that Thanksgiving must be like. For years and years and years, that unforgiveness led to anger and a critical spirit to the place that they just dried up toward each other. And that unforgiveness will lead to anger, to bitterness, to a critical spirit. And the next step that you find in your life will be that you want to get even. Vengeance is not ours. No. The Word of God says, Hebrews 10:30, vengeance is mine. saith the Lord.
Just to crush, just look for a way to make that.
Oh, my goodness. Have you ever held that in and all of a sudden you do forgive someone? I'm saying, oh, the sweet joy that comes when that dam is broken and the sweetness of forgiveness comes rolling through. First era, unforgiveness. Second era, he pulled, is anger. Third era, I want you to see, is unholy living. Unholy living. He shoots that at us to bring us to the place that we would compromise and lapse into godlessness. Now, notice the Word of God in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now, hang with me here. Paul says to Timothy, therefore, I want younger widows to get married. I thought I'd surely get an amen from somebody here. I want younger widows to get married. He's dealing with the whole in the church of the widows and the older and the younger. I want younger widows to get married. Bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow who? Satan himself. Now here's what Paul is dealing with in the context of chapter 5, verse Timothy. There are younger ladies. Their husbands have died. They've not remarried. But they are living in godlessness. They are living in sexual immorality. Sleeping one with another, with another, with another out of wedlock. Paul says, be very careful with the young widow because she will turn aside to follow Satan. However, the context of the passage is really not her sexual immorality that Paul puts his finger on. It's the loose lips and the flapping tongue of the church members. The sexual immorality is tough, but the gossiping lip is what he puts his finger on in this text. You see it? In the church, there'll be people, they're lapsing in, they're having an affair, they're running around, or they're living together and not married. And it ought not be. We call people the holiness. But over and above that, Paul says, then there are people in the church. You see that? They're on the fourth row. I can't believe they have the audacity to come to church living like that. If you don't have guts enough and love enough to go and tenderly and gingerly confront and call to accountability those that you find with open sin in their life, shut your mouth. Yes. This unholiness that right, we have sin in the church. Well, some, not ours, but I mean, there are churches that have it. Sure we do. Broken fellowship and relationship. But then rather than try to deal with it, whisper about it. Talk about it. And it leads us right back in to anger and unforgiveness and won't deal with the issue. And we followed the wicked one right down his trail. Error number one. Boom. Unforgiveness. Error number two, anger. Error number three, he wants you, he wants his preacher to get into unholy living. Now, folks, be very careful with where your eyes go because your heart comes right behind. You walk with such wickedness in your pocket, in your purse, that little device can take you down hell's road as fast as anything in the world. Unbelievable how the wicked one shoots at us through what could be a great device used for God's good and His glory, but captured by a wicked heart. Number four, the fourth era, unforgiveness, anger, unholy living. Number four, creating dissension is the fourth era. He wants to divide. When the wicked one can divide the church, he's well on his way to victory. In Acts 20, verse 28, 29, and 30, you find these words. Paul is speaking to the church. He tells them to be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. I know that after my departure, here he is, savage wolves, that's the old wicked one. He's going to come in among you, not sparing the flock, and among you, from your own selves, will arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them and after them and after them. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of this, I'm of this one, I'm of this one, I'm of this one, I'm of this one. Sometimes I wish I just had a church, it was all men. You. From your own selves will arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them and after them and after them. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of this, I'm of this one, I'm of this one, I'm of this one, I'm of this one. Sometimes I wish I just had a church, it was all men. Some days I wish I had a church, it's just all women. Sometimes I wish I just had a church, it was all 40 and under. That'd make life a lot easier. I couldn't attend, but it, you know. The music's a lot easier, you know. Sometimes I wish I had a church, everybody just over 65. Just remembering the good old times. But that's not what the church is. The church is young, the church is old. The church is male, the church is female. The church is single, the church is married. And let me tell you, it takes a move of the Holy Spirit of God to take all of us and make us one together. The old wicked one wants to divide. Come in among us and draw away this group, over here. And just in our context, immediately in 2020, of course, there are two great things trying to divide the church that the wicked one's using. Number one, of course, is COVID. Do you meet? Do you not meet? Do you wear a mask? You don't wear a mask. Can you shake hands or not shake hands? Can you say hello or not say hello? Can you baptize or not baptize? Can you have an invitation? This is all kind of things. Should you even open the church or close the church? Be very careful. It's a ploy of the wicked one to try to divide the saints of God. I see it happens almost. I'll get at least three of them tomorrow. I'll get two or three texts, emails. It usually comes from a non-pastor, though not always, but most of the time, I say 90%, it's from someone who's not a pastor of a local church, and they're holding a seminar. And they want you to come. Some of them are free, some of them are $195. How to pastor post-COVID? Who knows the answer to that? Nobody's ever done this. But if you pay me $195, I'll give you the secret sauce. Oh, Lord, help us. The church of the living God will get on its face, cry out to God. He'll show us how to get past COVID. It's how we get through every other trouble we have. Look for the wisdom of the Word of God. Get the people of God together. Cry out to God and let the Spirit of God fall on us and say, go this way or stop. Be careful. Don't let this
season of virus be a virus of the Spirit within the bride of Christ? And then, of course, secondly, is the coming election being divisive in the church? You got to make up your mind. It starts tomorrow in Florida. You can vote tomorrow in Florida. And they tell me if you're not registered, that Facebook will help you with that. 192 times a day they'll help you with that. So you got to make up your mind, which senior adult are you going to vote for? Now, beloved, you better be taking a long look at those VP candidates when you come to this deal, all right? You better take a long look right there. There's a whole package that you got to deal with on both sides of that. There's the person, there's the platform, there are the principles. All of that goes together, and all of that. You got to make a choice. Don't dare set it out, okay? You got to get in the game. One person told me, "Well, I can't vote for either one. I don't like either one of them. I'll vote for somebody else." I said, "Well, that's like paying your bills with Monopoly money. It doesn't do any good." You say, "Well, I'm gonna vote for my cousin." Well, God love you. Amen. I mean, friend, you need to pray and discern. It wouldn't take you 3 minutes to figure out how I'm going to vote in this deal. I ain't going to tell you nothing. But you may not vote like me, and I may not vote like you, but you listen to your pastor. You dare not let a secular election divide your spiritual fellowship. No, you dare not. Be very careful who you hook your wagon to politically. Now, I'm telling you, be involved and do it and be there. And if you want to know how to mark the ballot, come see me. Even on amendments, I'll help you. I hadn't even read two of them until yesterday. Got that thing in the mail. I didn't even know all the amendments. One I'm still deciding on. You may not want to talk to me. Talk to somebody else. Dare not let a secular election divide your spiritual unity. Don't do it. Elections will come and go. They will. You get to do it again in 2 years. But friend, you can't go through 2 years of evil. That text I got from that lady that just baffled me. I thought, Lord, I thought I'd taught them better than this. She said, "Pastor, my neighbor is angry because their neighbor has a different sign in their yard than who they're going to vote for. So how do they deal with that?" I said, "We got a book on that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Unless they got a bad sign in their yard." Come on now. You dare not let this secular election divide your spiritual unity. Take your stand, do it. Stand for your senior adult. Go there. I'm in camp if you go. But don't say because that person doesn't agree with me, mean they don't love Jesus. Have an honest conversation. But draw yourselves together in Christ. Listen, Satan is against us and he's seeking to defeat us. The flesh is within us and is seeking to defile us. The world is around us and is seeking to distract us. Dare not let it happen. Jeremiah, listen. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. You need to write this in your Bible. You need to have this in your heart. Look at this. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Did you get that? Jeremiah is in exile, and God says, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf.
pray for that godless city that I've put you in, for in its welfare, you will have welfare. Now, don't let welfare throw you, because the word there translated welfare is the word shalom. I'm going to bring peace in the middle of a city of godlessness where you've been exiled. Pray. Oh, my Lord, we ought to pray. We're going to pray on the streets of Pensacola here in a few weeks. We're going to have next Sunday night. There'll be a citywide worship rally in this building right here. Our Baptist Association bringing us together. We're going to cry out to the Lord and sing and pray. I was invited to pray at the Bayview Cross not long ago. I was one of 10 pastors. We met there on a Saturday morning for an hour. We prayed, cried out to the Lord. Amen. We thank God. We'd been at that cross before. We'd been to that cross praying at the cross not be taken down when people wanted to take it down. And we cried out. We stood, and the cross stood. Thank God for that. We're grateful for it. We went back to the cross and began to pray for our nation, prayed for revival to come. How do you deal with those arrows? Okay, here we go. Take up the shield of faith. How do you take up the shield? Friend, you're saved by faith. If you've never been saved today, I'm going to invite you to come right here to this table when we're done, or go to the table out there in the foyer, and Jesus will save you if you call on His name today. If you're here and you've never joined this church and ought to do it, then I want you to come. In just a few minutes, we're going to have another baptism here in just quickly, and we're going to close the service with baptism. And if you've never been baptized, I want you to come and make preparation to be baptized, like that little girl was baptized, like this other one is going to be baptized in just a few minutes. You're saved by faith. You walk by faith. But now listen to me. Listen. Don't miss it. The victory is in faith. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our what? Say that word out loud. Faith. This is what's overcome the world. Our faith. Genesis 15, verse number 1, God said to Abram, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a what? I am a shield unto you, and your reward shall be great. And Moses, in his dying day, in the last thing he wrote in Deuteronomy 33, verse number 29, blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, who is their shield of help and the sword of your majesty. So your enemies will cringe before you and will tread upon their high places. God is your shield. How do you take up the shield? Listen, watch this. You take up the shield when you go down. Amen. You'll take up the shield when you go down. No peeking. You get your head shot off. There's a time to advance. But when the war comes, you got to first take up the shield of faith, and to take it up, you've got to go down. You must bow before God in an altar. That's your home. You must submit to the ways of God and hunker down behind the shield of faith. Now watch this. When you pick up this kind of shield, and you get a 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 shield, and you get one, and you get one, and you get one. Then we line those up, and they become like a wall. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The onslaught can go. And then not only have the shields on the front, at times they'd put those shields on the back, and then there would be a certain regiment. They'd raise the shield. It was almost like a cocoon that they were in at a certain time in the war. And it's the shield of faith. And the shield of faith only comes up when you go down. Are you in submission to the things that are over you right now? If not, I encourage you to bow today. One of the things you ought to be in submission to is baptism. Won't you turn your eyes to the baptistry? John, our minister of music, is there. He's going to baptize right now. in this service. Brother John, are you there?
Yes.
Is he
I
there?
Am.
There he is.
This is my friend, Elise Eicher. Elise, have you trusted in Jesus as your Savior?
Yes.
Then on the authority of God's Word, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with Jesus in baptism unto death, and raised to walk in newness of life.
Have you walked by faith, coming to the cross to be saved? If not, come today. Go to one of those next step tables. Come right here. Have you today joined a local fellowship? Or are you building the body of Christ, walking by faith? And if not, go to the next step table. Come right here. Are you here today and just away from the Lord and need to come home to the shield of faith? Maybe you need to come to this altar and just kneel here. Many did after the first service, just kneeling here as we were dismissing, just giving their life back unto God. I encourage you that this day, take up the shield of faith. Now, just before we go, I want you to stand. Look right here. I'm not going to say a word, but I want you to say them out loud because we're practicing for next Sunday. Put on the
belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit.
Which is the Word of God. God love you. Come and trust Christ. See you next time as we go together walking by faith. Amen and amen.